The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. If you remember, we've been given example after example, especially the last few weeks, of Jesus, God's word incarnate, healing the illnesses and brokenness of those who come to him. In this gospel passage, we see Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law in Capernaum. Jesus is showing us his compassion for the needs of others, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. How often do we think of healing only as physical, asking God to heal some sickness, pain, and a disease that has been affecting us or someone that we love? He can heal our pains and tortures physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I've got to tell you today that it is only in Jesus Christ that we can be made whole and experience true inner healing. We spent the last three Sundays learning about what took place in Capernaum, a fishing village where many people came to Jesus for healing. Gospel tells us these people were lining up in droves to be healed. Jesus spent quite a bit of time ministering to lepers. Now, when you read in the Bible about lepers, it can mean a whole lot of things. It's just a skin disease. It could be an open sore, a wound, and it caused people to be called unclean. And they couldn't live with society until it healed. And there were many who had what we think of leprosy, losing parts, body parts, limbs, etc., that would have to live outside the community probably the rest of their lives. And they were considered to be sinful, unclean, and outcast of society. Lepers, by the law, had to announce themselves when people were coming around by shouting, "Unclean!" when someone was nearby. Could you imagine that taking place today? I don't think so. Imagine the emotional scars that these people had, having to let people know that they weren't healthy members of society, the physical scarring and the loss of limbs as well. If you were unclean, you lived in total abandonment, rejection, hatred, anger, mockery, and abuse. But Jesus reached out to those who were unclean, and Jesus touched and confirmed their faith and importance in the eyes of God, restoring them to a right place in society. It was okay for them to be with others. And he instructed them to go to the priest so that their restoration could be confirmed. As a matter of fact, next week's gospel, or the next words in Mark's gospel, are about Jesus meeting a leper and healing him. You see, if Jesus touched a leper, he would then be unclean. But Jesus never stopped to think about that. He went to places other people wouldn't go. He touched people that other people wouldn't touch. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus healed 10 lepers. But sadly, only one returns to give the glory to God. Jesus asked everyone present where the other 9 are. But then he turns to the now healed Samaritan and says, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." That's Luke chapter 17, verse 19. There was another time when Jesus was on the way to bring Jairus' daughter back to life. Well, Jairus was ahead of the temple, and so he put pressure upon Jesus and said, "My daughter is dying. Come and heal her." We were talking about this at Wednesday night, just this past week. And he was stopped by a woman along the way who had a bleeding issue for 12 years. Hemorrhaging nonstop for 12 years. Wow. She endured suffering with hemorrhaging, spending all of her money on doctors, living in despair and emotional trauma of being declared unclean, as well as the isolation, anger, rejection, and shame that went along with it. She knew that if she could only touch the hem of Jesus' garment, that her life would change. When she did touch the hem of Jesus' garment, her bleeding instantly stopped. Mark's gospel says this: "Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at Jesus' feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and free from your suffering." Mark chapter 5, verses 33 and 34. Jesus stopped what he was doing. He was on a mission. He was headed right for Jairus' daughter. And he stopped, not only to speak to this woman, but to listen to her story. Jesus gave her his undivided attention. He'd already given her his power and healing, but he didn't rush off. And instead, he heard the depth of her faith, and then he told her that it was her faith that healed her. Jesus commanded her to go in peace, shalom, restoring her to society, and told her to be healed from your suffering. He restored her health, he restored her mind, and he restored her spirit. And it can only come from God himself in the person of Jesus Christ. We see evidence throughout the scriptures of Jesus' healing of people purely because of his compassion. Examples right here today in this church of the many healings and deliverances from cancer and other ailments. We see people growing where they were told they wouldn't grow. But yet, miracle after miracle, we see a witness of a miracle who has been able to write on a board exactly what she was supposed to write. "Elizabeth, you are my hero, and you are God's blessing incarnate." So if you don't believe that Jesus does miracles, take a look at the third pew. Amazing. Jesus' compassion, love, and a great deal of faith in the people who love others has brought healing. In today's Holy Gospel, immediately after they left the synagogue, when Jesus drove the demons out of that man, and I say demons because he spoke in the plural, "Why do you come after us?" they went to the home of Simon Peter and his brother, Andrew. Yes, St. Andrew. I want you to listen to verse 30 again. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about it. Well, let me interject this. They told Jesus about her because they knew and had witnessed the wonders that Jesus had working with people who were sick, in body, mind, and spirit. They had the faith that Jesus was going to heal her, not with the intention of having to have her work for them, but simply to get rid of the illness that plagued her. She was so well after Jesus spoke to her that she felt well enough to get up and in gratitude to serve them. It would appear that Jesus hardly had any time to himself. The gospel says that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases, and he drove out many demons. I want you to listen to the words from the Gospel of Matthew, an eyewitness to Jesus' ministry. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people brought him all who were ill with various diseases, suffering with severe pain, the demon-possessed, though having seizures, and paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 and 25. There's a war going on. There truly is a war going on. It's a spiritual war. It's a war that Satan will not win. God the Father sent Jesus to the cross so that we might be restored. Restored to a right relationship with him. A relationship that was intended from the very beginning for all of us. I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul has to say in his epistle to the Romans. "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. We need to know that without a doubt that our own restoration is found only in Jesus. He writes also in Romans 8, verses 1 and 2, and I want you to hear this and take this to heart. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. So if you're carrying around baggage of shame and guilt for things that you did years ago and have already repented of, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Don't carry that baggage around of something that you did when you were 16 years old, when you picked up something that wasn't yours, and every day the devil reminds you about it. I want to tell you today, he has no right to do that. You've already been forgiven. Get rid of it. Leave it at the foot of the cross. Today, that just as Jesus went to the cross to free us from sin and death, offering eternal life and forgiveness of sins, repented, he also took our illness and diseases with him. There is scripture that tells us this, and he offers healing to those who faithfully receive it. The words of St. Peter's first letter ring true. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. Prophet Isaiah proclaimed the same thing. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed. Isaiah 53, verse 5. Through the innocent suffering of Jesus on the cross, the righteous anger of God has been satisfied. And through his redeeming power, love, and mercy, we're being able to be made right with God. We receive the fruit of Jesus' ultimate sacrifice through repenting, through turning away from our sinful behavior. That's what repenting means, to turn away from it. Placing our trust and confidence in one place, our Lord Jesus Christ, and allowing God to transform us, changing our sinful nature forevermore. We need to go before the cross and lay our sins, our burdens, that baggage that we're carrying around, our weaknesses at the feet of Jesus in order to be truly healed, receiving complete and total forgiveness. I absolutely love the words of Psalm 103, and I want to read them to you now. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 3. God's promised, and only God delivers. The words from 2 Corinthians are so fitting. For as many as are the promises of God, in him they are yes. He wants to say yes to us. He doesn't want to say no. The only solution to what ails the world today can be found in Jesus Christ. He told us on the night before he died, I am the way, not one of many ways. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it's through the power of his holy word that we can be healed. The word of God has incredible power. Jesus healed the sick and cast out evil just by speaking his word. In the beginning, the universe was created simply by him speaking it into being. We need to recognize and trust that power, having great faith like Abraham, not based on anything we've seen, but knowing that God will do everything that he has promised. The prophet Isaiah proclaimed this in Isaiah 40, verse 21. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? And he continues, those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with the wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. You see, God wants us. He desires for us to be healed. In the epistle of James, Jesus' brother, chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He's to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man or woman can accomplish much. So, in closing, I want to encourage everyone here today, don't search for healing anywhere except in the one who created and saved us. For by his sacrifice on the cross and redemption, we're not only freed from sin and death, but from sickness as well. My brothers and sisters, I encourage you, trust in him and what he has already done for you. As Jesus told many, and he tells each one of us here today, personally, your faith has healed you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.